We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Back to more John Chuckery.
No, I'm having a good time.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover. With John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Back in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. It is John Chuckery Show, live on this Thursday evening with you. 404-741-0929. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey app, so you catch us when you're on the go. Social media, 929 The Game on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And follow us on our Twitter pages at JMCH316. He's at underscore Dylan Matthews. We'll talk to D. Orlando Ledbetter coming up in about 20 minutes from right now. But this, of course, your nightly look at all things Atlanta Falcons. It is the Falcons flyover. It was bad news today for the Atlanta Falcons as we got word that Marlon Davidson is for sure going to be out the rest of the preseason with potentially the season opener against the New Orleans Saints on September 11th in question. They're hoping that he would be back by then. Can I tell you, though, that we sure he's going to make the 53-man roster at this point? Because he's a guy who's got to prove a lot, and these continuing reoccurring injuries aren't doing anything for him. He had to have his knee scoped this morning, and he's out for the rest of the preseason. Look, I've seen him at camp. He looks good. He looks the part. He's talking and saying all the right things. But what's the old saying? You can't make the club in the tub. And that's where he's at right now. And this was not a good time in his career to be out for the rest of the preseason. We'll ask D-Led. My gut says he's not going to make the 53. My gut says that he's going to be gone. And even if, look, he's already, fighting for snaps and a spot, in the rotation and things like that as it is. There was no guarantee of him starting, making the roster, starting. A lot of work ahead of him. So this is bad news for him. It's frustrating news, from some of these guys. Look, I said before, while I understand and get that Drake London's going to be back and he should be all fine, it's frustrating that my first-round pick of the draft isn't available to play at all. That's frustrating. Because, again, I know everybody thinks you just come in the league and you're Ja'Marr Chase and Randy Moss. Don't always work like that. And that's why Bryan Edwards even said, I want to play. He's campaigning to play in the preseason for that very reason. So this is very frustrating with Marlon Davidson. I think his chances of making the roster are slim now. But we'll see. Again, he's a former second-round pick, but not with this group. That was the last regime that picked him. If he ends up getting cut, can I tell you those last couple of drafts from Thomas and Dan are PU stinkers. You got next to nothing out of your last few draft classes with Thomas and Dan. Zilch, zip, nada, bupkis. When you do that in the NFL, you will be 4 wins, 5 wins, 6 wins. You will be a bottom-of-the-barrel sludge scraper team if you can't draft well, especially when your first and second and third round picks are all gone within a few years and you don't sign anybody. We told you, a while back, Lindstrom's the only guy over about a 3-year period that's going to get any actual real second contract. I know Isaiah Oliver signed a second-year deal. Isaiah Oliver signed a 1-year, $1.25 million contract. That ain't exactly locking him up for the long term, is it? So, anyway, very, very frustrating. All right, Pro Football Focus has every team's NFL bounce-back candidate for the Atlanta Falcons, Deion Jones. What went wrong? There aren't many linebacker-friendly schemes in the NFL nowadays, but Former Falcon coach Dan Quinn's would qualify as one. With Jones going from that simplistic role to what he was asked to do in Dean Pee's defense in 2021, it looked like he was going from learning to drive to racing Formula One. Jones had far and away his worst season of his career and gave up more than two times the number of yards in coverage than he did the previous year. Outlook, Jones remains on the pup list with a shoulder injury, although it sounds like he can come off that here soon. Falcons coach Arthur Smith said Jones is trending well, but there's no real timetable on his return at this point. Obviously, Troy Anderson, Rashawn Evans, Michael Walker. Look, I've said I don't think they want to cut. I don't think they want to cut Deion Jones. I think they want something for him. But I still don't believe at the end of the day that he's going to be on this roster when all is said and done. I still don't believe that he's going to be lining up for the Falcons in the regular season come week one. Maybe he will. Maybe they won't find a suitor, but I think I don't think he's going to be here. However that works itself out, I don't think he's going to end up being here. All right, the Falcons did make a signing, you know, of course, as they're cutting down rosters and things like that. They did sign Keyshawn Johnson. No, not that Keyshawn Johnson. No, not him. No, he's not going to be here and call and take over for Dave Archer and do the color or anything like that. This is K-E-E-S-E-A-N Johnson. Former draft pick for the Arizona Cardinals in 2019. Sixth-round pick, spent a couple of years in Arizona. Last year was with Philadelphia. He has a grand total of 36 receptions in his three-year NFL career. Peaked out as a rookie with 21 catches for 187 yards. I don't know enough about him to tell you. Maybe he's a good special teams player. Out of Fresno, that's a chuck and duck offense. Decent size. You know, he's got decent size. So, you know, 6'1", 201 pounds. But, you know, Fresno State's another one of those chuck and duck college offenses. Huck it all over the place, right? I think, is Jeff Tedford coaching at Fresno State? But anyway, okay. I mean, another guy to mix in the wide receiver group, you know. There's a lot to sort out there, that's for sure. A lot to sort out there. Also, too, Isaiah Oliver, and we'll ask D-Led about this coming up at 8:20. Yeah, Jeff Tedford's coach, right? Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah. Former, you know what Jeff Tedford's claim to fame is and all that kind of stuff?
No.
Okay.
Was it something to do with wrestling?
Well.
That was a wild guess. I didn't think so. But
he was the head coach at Cal, coached Aaron Rodgers in college.
Oh.
Coached Marshawn Lynch in college.
Oh.
He was one of the guys early on in college football that really kind of went with that spread kind of option offense and things like that. So, and the Braves get on the board. Mets kind of bumbling things around out there in the outfield, and it allowed who was that? Was that Harris that came all the way around or Grossman came? Okay. So you got your speed guys on, and you start running the bases, right? What'd I tell you? Get guys on, put the ball in play, right? You know, you can't score if you strike out 13 times. Dansby whacking it around. Dansby hitting a shot in the gap. And Vaughn Grissom is off to the races, right? What you got to do. Grossman, I should say. Sorry. But that's what you got to do. You got to put the ball in play against pitchers like DeGrom. Make their defense make a play. And they were fumbling, bumbling, stumbling out there. So that was a good play. Braves up 1-0 early in this game. Dansby with a double on that play. But we're getting word that Isaiah Oliver is taking some snaps at safety. And people are starting to wonder about whether or not maybe he's going to be in for a position change as well. Now, obviously, last year, he got some things on track to where they decided to give him another contract, albeit a year. But remember, he came in and played pretty well at nickel corner before he went out with injury for the season. So, can he play safety? He did that some in college. You know, in college, when he was at, I believe it was at Colorado, right? He played some safety, played some corner, played a little bit of both. Again, can he help out? I'll give him credit that he earned his name back from last year, right? He got his name back. We don't have to call him 26 anymore. All right? We can call him Isaiah Oliver. He earned his name back, so we don't have to call him 26. So, okay. I mean, again, he's done this. He did this in college some. He was more of an outside corner in college, but did play a little bit of safety here and there. So, okay. I mean, listen, you need all the help in your secondary in today's NFL that you can. And if you're a nickel corner in the NFL, you start about 60% of the time. right? The way the league is right now, your nickel corner starts about, 60% to two-thirds of the time in today's league. So you need all the help that you can get. So we'll ask D-Led about that as well. But obviously we get ready for Monday night, and the Falcons, as they're up in New Jersey, they'll do some dual practices and things, which, look, that's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing the reports that are coming out from up there, because everybody's up there now. I believe everybody, I think all the writers and everything are up there now, all the TV people, writers, everybody's up in New Jersey, to cover the Falcons, and this is what we want, right? Let's see what some of these practices are, because that's going to be something that we learn as well. We might learn some more in these practices than we do when we get into the actual games itself. And there's Riley knocking in Dansby, so now you've got a couple of runs against Jacob DeGrom. That's what you got to do. Put the ball in play, right? You play small ball. You can't sit back and try to hit three-run homers off DeGrom. Put the ball in play, right? Nothing cute, nothing fancy, nothing special. You just put the ball in play. And Riley basically served it right up through where the shortstop would normally be. Kind of not quite up the middle, but fairly close. And Dansby on second, he's coming around to chugga-chugga-chugga around second base to score. Using that speed, not having a batter at all around, and you just got to keep peppering. That's what you got to do. Keep peppering DeGrom. Run his pitch count up. Run his pitch count up and, get it from there. So Braves put a couple of runs on the board here. They've now got a 2-0 lead, so they've broken through on Jacob DeGrom. And by the way, DeGrom came in with an ERA of what, like a 1.80 or something like that? DeGrom's only 10-7 against the Braves for his career, but his ERA is 2.01. He came in to this game averaging 15 strikeouts per nine innings. He's averaged, I think, 11.5 strikeouts per nine innings against the Braves in his career, but it was only 10-7. And I say only, but, without going through all of his game logs, when you've got a 2.01 ERA, that kind of tells you that they probably didn't score a whole lot of runs for him. If you picked up seven losses against one team and you're only averaging two runs a start, you probably didn't score a whole lot of runs for him. So anyway, good job by the Braves there to get a couple of runs on the board. And now three innings in the books, but they've already gotten four hits and a couple of runs off DeGrom. So let's see if Max Fried can keep it up. Max Fried got himself out of jail, by the way. First and third, nobody out, struck out two guys. Then Marte hit a bouncer back to him, and he got out of it. That's what an ace does. That's being an ace, and that's what Max Fried is an ace. So we'll keep you up to date with the Braves all night long. Coming up next, though, our buddy D-Led going to join us. We'll get you ready for Monday night and Falcons' second preseason game. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, sports right after the game, the Odyssey.com app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back to more John Chuckery. He's in the zone.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back with you, the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out at the Key Studios on a Thursday evening with you. 404-741-0929. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of our show. Odyssey app site, catch us when you're on the go. Social media, 929 The Game, at JMCH316, at underscore Dylan Matthews. Well, we get ready for Falcons preseason game numero two, as Monday they will be up in New Jersey. The man who covers the Atlanta Falcons for the Atlanta Journal Constitution. The beat writers D. Orlando Ledbetter joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Follow D. Led on Twitter at D. Orlando AJC. D. Led, are you up in New York, New Jersey, or whatever state they're playing in right now?
Yeah, just got in about 45 minutes ago and getting situated here just outside of Florham Park, where they'll be practicing on Friday and Saturday.
They put you up in a 5-star hotel?
No, we didn't go that high. No, we're trying to stay around as long as we can.
Well, they're making a lot of money.
Marriott Courtyard is just fine.
Well, then they're making all that money over at AJC. I want to make sure that they're taking care of you, D-Led. You know, you're my guy.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
Tell me honestly, Marlon Davidson going to make the 53-man roster?
I'm just putting up the story about the surgery. Was traveling. I'm just looking at it. He hasn't been healthy any year in the league, so... if they got some guys that are healthy and can play, they might not move forward with him.
Yeah, I mean, it is a shame, and it's another one of those things that, you know, the old saying, you can't make the club in the tub. But even if he did make the roster, he's not probably going to start anyway, is he? I mean, he's probably just a rotational guy at this point, right?
Well, they wanted him or Tyquan Graham to take over that defensive end spot opposite of Grady Jarrett in the 3-4, and the spot was up for grabs. And Tyquan hadn't done anything to move that far ahead. So, you know, if he can't compete for it, you got to kind of move on and look for some help over there.
D-Led, I said earlier in the show, one of the things that I want to see is just continuing to see the competition at the center spot. I think that's, at this point, that's the only spot that's up for grabs. And, you know, what do you expect the last game? Dahlman played, I think, 50% of the snaps. I want to say Hennessy only played about 13% of the snaps. Do you expect a little bit more balance between those guys in this game as far as snap percentage and things like that, or you still think it's going to trend heavy toward one of those guys?
Oh, no, they'll flip at this game because they wanted to be fair. And in their mind, Dahlman got a better shot against Detroit, and they'll give Hennessy a better shot here against the Jets, which is a tougher assignment, with Quinnen Williams and Solomon Thomas up front. It's clear they want Dahlman to win the spot. It's their guy. They drafted him. But Hennessy keeps outplaying. So, you know, if they're going to be true to themselves, if Hennessy does his thing against Quinnen Williams and Solomon Thomas, he could lock the job down. But Jacksonville, I don't know, both of them will do well in that game, so it won't matter. But, yeah, this is the big test up here in New York. Who can handle the Jets four penetrating front four, which is going to be the best defensive front they see in the offseason?
How much of that battle do you think also gets settled in these co-practices that are coming up for these next two teams? Besides just the preseason games, obviously they're going to practice with one another in these last couple of weeks here. How important do you think that's going to play into it in trying to finalize who's going to be the starter?
That's going to play a lot, John. I mean, you got four practices and two games. If you add up the reps in practice, put them at like 30, the one-on-ones, if they go, 10 times against each team, or 10 times in each practice, that's 40. And then you got, 20 or 30 plays, you might want to play them in the game. So you're going to have over 70, 80 plays to lay side by side on whether you want Hennessy or Drew Dahlman at center. And, right now, we got it graded with Hennessy out in front, because we saw Dahlman on the ground a couple times in the Lions game, and that's a no-no for the center. We don't need to see you on the ground.
Falcons beat writer for the AJC, D. Orlando Ledbetter, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Obviously Drake London, I think we assume he's not going to play. I don't even know if he's going to play at all in the preseason. But what do they think about their wide receiver group right now? I would assume we're going to get Edwards back for this game on Monday. Where are the Falcons, do you think, in their evaluation of their wide receiver group?
You know, they got Kyle Pitts. That's their wide receiver group. He's their wide receiver group. The rest of the, you know, Edwards is a dependable guy. You know, he's not going to take the top off. They got a bunch of little guys that can get up and down the field. Zacchaeus, Baston, and Bird. You know, Cordarrelle Hodge made a big play last week. But, I mean, you know, he's his fourth year in the league. You know, just a steady guy that's going to be in the right place with, you know, when Kyle Pitts drags the defense to the other side of the field. So, yeah, that's where they're at. You know, not much on the roster beyond that. So, yeah, I think, you know, Hodge is going to make the team. Auden Tate doesn't look that good out there. They moved on for one kid. Tyshawn James and Geronimo Allison. He's a veteran, but you know, just kind of guy you might want to keep around in case you have some depth issues and so forth. But the key is just look on the special teams and see which receivers are playing on the special teams, and that's going to tell you who's winning those battles for the fourth, fifth, and sixth position.
Do you think that there is going to be a surprising cut at all from the Falcons? We were just talking about Marlon Davidson, but are there guys on your radar that, you know, we might not expect to get cut but could end up not making the 53-man?
Yeah, there always will be a surprise or two. But with this roster, you know, we do this kind of predictive 53-man roster thing. And, you know, usually, you know, I'm around 72 and, you know, I got to get it down to 53. But, you know, at this one, I'm kind of like at 40, and I'm looking for, you know, 30, I'm looking for 13 other guys. So, you know, the talent level is not here where you're going to be cutting a lot of good players. It's not going to be too many surprises here.
So you think the Falcons are kind of waiting around for cuts and stuff like that to add a piece or two? They've got a little bit of cap space. They could do a little bit of something, and obviously I think everybody kind of waits for some cuts and stuff like that, but do you expect them to add to this roster before we get ready for prep on week one against the Saints?
Yeah, no doubt about it. You seen them pick up a receiver yesterday. It was cut by the Niners. They're going to have the seventh position on the or eighth position on the waiver, seventh or eighth, I got to figure that out, on the waiver wire. So, you know, that's pretty high. So, you know, if a left guard comes through there that they like, I'm sure they'll snap them up. You know, they're not very deep along the line. So if a big tackle comes up, the kid from Jacksonville last year, Malcolm Brown, you know, I don't know if they're interested in him. But, you know, anybody that you see them picking up a lot of veterans that played some games in the league that they can at least go out there and play with. So that's where they're at in this building process. You know, Coach Smith was with Tennessee when LaVitre got traded over here at the last minute. You know, when the Falcons know they needed a guard, and they, you know, he was kind of the last piece on a decent line there that got to the Super Bowl. So they're definitely going to be active, no question about it.
D-Led, I know you were at open practice on Monday. I was there broadcasting on Monday. You know, a lot of special teams work that was going on. You know, we haven't spent a whole lot of time talking about it. We obviously, Avery Williams, besides being in the running back room, is going to be, I think, your kick and punt returner, although I know Patterson has lobbied to, you know, return some kicks. But we have a solid kicker. But what do you do you think Avery Williams can take that next step forward as far as a return guy goes? Do you think that Patterson will get a shot to return some kicks? Where do you think we are in all of that as far as special teams goes?
Yeah, I think Avery, you know, he's dynamic in the college game with the returns and so forth. I think the schemes are – he's kind of regimented in this deal. I haven't seen him make a lot of people miss what you got to do because the lanes are going to close up pretty fast. So we'd like to see him do that. And if not, you know, just get what you can get at that point, you know. But as far as the kickoffs go, yeah, they're definitely going to get Cordarrelle back there. He's going to carry a load on offense, so they're going to spot, you know, maybe give him the opening kickoff when it's a start of the game type of situation. But other than that, I can't see when you spot play him to return the kickoffs. If there's a game where People have been playing keep away, and he hasn't been on the field much. Maybe you send him back there. But he definitely is going to get some opportunities. But, yeah, I'm with you that Avery will be the main guy, punts and kickoffs, and they'll spot return Cordarrelle Patterson.
Are they treating this game as a dress rehearsal? I mean, you know, I know it's a different type of preseason nowadays in the NFL, but is this their quote-unquote dress rehearsal coming up on Monday?
It is, but Coach Smith wouldn't call it that today. He's like, I don't know if there ever was a dress rehearsal or some mythical or whatever, but it is. You know, they gotta see if these guys can play. I mean, and this running around playing tag stuff, you know, they did that last year, and they went into the first game and got their heads kicked in. So, you know, by the Eagles. So he doesn't want to get his head kicked in again by the Saints. So he's got a dress rehearsal on some here. We're going to see a lot more Cordarrelle Patterson. We're going to see guys play a little bit longer. We probably won't see, you know, how Coach Smith used to do it, Coach Mike Smith, where he would go in that third game, play into the half, and then go in the locker room, do the regular locker room, and come out and let him start the third period because, you know, that was real what it was going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, then everybody was done for the rest of that half in the fourth game. So I don't see him doing that, playing him that much. I kind of see him in a 20-20-20 role where they'll play 20, maybe into the second quarter, this game, maybe into the second quarter Jacksonville game, and then go from there and let these other kids try to earn spots on the roster and the practice squad.
So let's last question for D-Led. If we look at the quarterback position, yeah. Do you expect Mariota to play a lot this coming game and then maybe nothing against Jacksonville, and then give Ritter a whole half of this game and most of the Jacksonville game? How do you break down the quarterback play maybe over the next couple of games?
Well, he said he was going a quarter last game, so I think he's going two quarters this game, Mariota, then Ritter. And then the last game, maybe you go, you know, just give him, you know, the one series, Ritter, and then you give Franks a little bit just so he's ready in case of an emergency. But, yeah, this is the big game for Mariota against the Jets on Monday night. And then, you know, you get everybody in that last game to try to get ready for the season.
Covers the Falcons for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. AJC.com is where you can keep up with all of his Falcon news and all of his work. And then follow him on Twitter at DeOrlandoAJC. Be watching out because he may be putting a selfie as he's in a lazy river at some fancy hotel and eating steak and everything else. So, D-Led, enjoy your time up there in God's country, and we'll chat here soon.
All right, John, thank you very much. Take care. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Appreciate it, D-Led. And, yeah, listen, you know, I think that's the thing is that there are these joint practices are very much important for helping decide some of these positional battles. You know, I do think that besides just the game, what they do, because you can, the thing about the practices is you can dictate how you want to do things, right? Like you can put whatever scenario out there that you want and you can make it happen. All right, when we come back, it will be time for What's Bugging Chukri. How the hell do you let the 9/11 museum close? We're going to talk about that story. Watching some Braves as well. Still up 2-0 with Max Fried dealing. Sports right now at the game, Odyssey.com app.
Back to more John Chukri.
No, I'm having a good time. Having a good time.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Back with you, The John Chukri Show, live in the Kia Studios. Thursday night with you. 404-741-0929. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey app site, catch us on the go. Social media, 929 The Game, at JMCH316, at underscore Dylan Matthews. As we are not here tomorrow, I guess I should mention, 10:40, 2 hours from right now, we will get into a rank'em. So hit us up with your list. Hey, dive in the history and culture of baseball's unofficial rule book with Unwritten, a new podcast hosted by former players Ron Darling and Jimmy Rollins. Each week they have a guest on to talk all different things about the not-so-secret guidelines for big leaguers, Gary Sheffield, Larry Boa, previous guests. Do they say Hey Maine on their podcast or anything?
They might.
Okay.
Anyway. Everybody seems like they do it at this point.
Yep. Download for free on the Odyssey app, by the way, too. I spoke too soon. Max Fried gave up a two-run homer, and we're all tied up now. So Fried's got five innings in the books, four hits, two earned runs, four strikeouts. Hadn't walked anybody as usual, but he did give up the one home run. He's at 71 pitches, so very efficient. But unfortunately, we have a brand new game out here. So it is now 2-2 here as we head to the bottom of the fifth inning, and the Braves coming up here. They'll get to the very bottom of the order, then Ronnie's in the hole, if you will. But yeah, that kind of sucked. I mean, Dylan like grabbed me. He's like, as I was running out, grabbed something to drink, or whatever. He's like, oh man, you spoke too soon. Fried gave up. I was like, what? Fried gave up a home run.
Literally, as soon as you walked out of your studio, he gave up the home run.
Oh, well, that kind of sucks.
Literally, it was like 5 seconds after you said it, Max.
So, literally, I mean, both teams have two runs and four hits. You know, DeGrom's coming back out. He's got five strikeouts with no walks in four innings. He's only thrown in four innings. He's thrown 53 pitches. That's it.
Wow.
He's thrown 53 pitches in four innings. But again, what did I say? And I tweeted this out, by the way. Put the ball in play. When you put the ball in play, things will happen. And it may not be that exact moment, but things will happen. Good things will eventually come through. You put enough balls in play, good things are going to happen to you. And that's what the Braves did. Braves didn't sit there and hit a three-run homer or a two-run homer to take the lead or anything like that. Dansby with a two-out hit. Riley with a two-out hit. Right? And, you know, get a guy on. You know, a base hit here for Grossman, then he comes around. You use your speed, this, that, and the other. You make the Mets have to make a play on defense. They bobble a ball. And all of a sudden, you look up and you got a couple of runs out of it. So, but you let DeGrom sit back and just fire away, and you let him have 12 of his 17 outs with no contact, you're toast. You're toast for it. You know, you got to put the ball in play. Put the ball in fair territory. Doesn't mean you're always going to get hits, but, you know, accumulate balls in play and put pressure on defenses. Eventually, one of those things will find a hole. It'll find a soft spot, and, you know, you end up with a runner or two on, and, you know, do like the Braves did. Some key two-out hits. Didn't it literally what we talked about? Get a two-out hit here, get a bleeder over here, find a way to get a guy on here, use your speed there, right? That's how you got to beat DeGrom. You have to dink and doink and dip and dupe and blop and blip and, you know, beep bada boop them. You can't sit back and, you know, pound away and, you know, sit back and go bombs away on them. And the Braves did a great job of that. So see if the Braves can, you know, find a way to, you know, crack the code and find a couple of more runs. DeGrom's only given up three runs. DeGrom coming in tonight had only given up three runs for the entire year. Now, granted, he only pitched 16 innings or whatever, but he's only given up three runs for the entire of the year. He's given up two tonight. His ERA has ballooned to 2.14. Because his ERA came in with, what, about a .180 ERA? It's ballooned to a 2.14 ERA. Fried, by the way, is sitting at 2.64. So Fried ain't exactly chopped liver either. He's getting it going and getting it cranked up. Sucks about the home run, but anyway, we got a new game out of all of it. Riley's got a couple of hits. Dansby's got a hit and a run in this game. Grossman's got a hit and a run in the game as well. So we'll keep up to date because, again, I've said before, I think this is must win tonight. That's how I'm looking at it. This is must win. You lose tonight and you really hadn't gotten anything done against the Mets, and you're down to your last fumes against them and everything. So we'll keep you up to date what goes on here with the Mets and Braves as it is two guys that are really dealing, you know, Max Fried and Jacob DeGrom. So we'll see what happens here. All right, speaking of dealing, let's get to something we call What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So this is a very disappointing headline, and this is going to be non-sports related because this is very aggravating to me, and I'm going to use my platform to express my aggravation. The 9/11 Museum in New York is about to be permanently shut down because of revenue losses stemming from COVID, among other things. The 9/11 Tribute Museum up in New York is being forced to close down permanently. Opened up in 2006, obviously just blocks away from where the Twin Towers were. But according to the New York Post, there's been a massive drop in visitors since the pandemic, and it can't make ends meet. This from co-founder Jennifer Adams Webb, CEO of the September 11th Families Association. She said, quote, "Two-thirds of our income revenue annually comes from our earned income from admissions. We were completely closed for 6 months in 2020. We had been averaging 300,000 visitors a year, and last year we had a total of 26,000 visitors. So it completely annihilated our earned income. There's no way we're going to be able to dig out of this at this rate. We need the state or the city to step in with other partners to be able to say, we value you, we want to save this organization. But at this point, we can't continue to dig into a hole." The museum had 5 million visitors from 141 countries since 2006, according to the website. But again, with COVID and everything else, former secretary to New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, Melissa DeRosa, tweeted, "This cannot stand. The state handed $1 billion to the billionaire owners of the Buffalo Bills. They have to step in." Here's my thing. Do you not understand? Okay, dialing. Do you know what Amtrak is?
Yeah, it's the, like, railway or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've heard of it?
Yes.
You're familiar with it?
Yeah.
And you know there's an Amtrak station right over here at Peachtree Road, right there before you cross the bridge into Midtown.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of coming out of Buckhead into Midtown,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Do you understand that for decades, do you know who owns Amtrak?
Who's?
The United States government.
Oh, okay.
And for decades, okay, the U.S. government has propped up, subsidized, and funded Amtrak. A train, a railway train, not a high-speed rail, not a modernized rail, old-fashioned Amtrak. Okay? Now, I'm not very much in favor of the government doing things. But if the government of the United States can subsidize, run, and bankrupt Amtrak, why can't they run the 9/11 Museum? And again, I would much rather have the 9/11 Museum in private hands, but if the United States government has to step in and subsidize the museum until they find a private owner who's willing to come up with a new plan and keep it open, this is a stain on us. This is absolutely, positively a crappy thing to allow to happen. And I don't really care why or this, that, and the other, but there are some times in life where the government has to, if the government can put all this money into Ukraine and this, that, and the other, and they can put it into Amtrak more specifically, then they should put it in the 9/11 Museum and go find a private organization to buy, fund, run that. And they can get charities to get involved. They can get the, whatever you have to do. There has to be a better way and a better plan than we have to close our doors permanently. They're already taking some of the artifacts out of it and transporting them to other places. Some of the artifacts that have been there and are from the actual scene. It's ridiculous. And this is a sad stain on us if this is allowed and this is what happens. If they have to close up and relocate stuff, because remember, think about how much money was put into that thing to start with, right? You know, it was a whole cluster, you know what, to get the thing built to start with. And now here we are, not even 20 years later, 2006. That's 16 years later, and they're talking about shutting down the place permanently. Like, how can this happen? So again, You know, if you can find money for Amtrak and run that for decades, find money to give to the 9/11 Museum and get and find somebody who will buy it, invest, and run it. A charity, a private organization, a billionaire, whatever. I don't care. But this can't happen. You know, there's enough things that make America look kind of goofed up. Can you imagine the 9/11 Museum, where 3,000 Americans lost their life in that site, in that area, and you're taking artifacts that were in there, that were part of everything around it, and moving them to some jabron's place because they can't get the 9/11 Museum funded properly. Again, if the Cobb County taxpayers can get fleeced for a baseball stadium and shops and restaurants around it, certainly we can come up with a better plan for keeping the 9/11 Museum afloat than we got to close its doors permanently and we can't figure out a plan B. And by the way, too, the curators of all this or whatever like that, how did they not see this coming? I know it's only been a couple of years, but this should have been something that was worked on 18 months ago, because you would have known then. But again, this ticks me off. This legitimately ticks me off to read about something like this. That we're allowing this to happen. Yeah, there's a petition. Great. You need cash. You need scrajole. And as much money as we spend and waste on everything else, government-related, project-related, the war on drugs, take your pick of all the billions of other crap money that we've floated into anything. Can we at least keep the 9/11 Museum open with all the original artifacts and memorabilia and everything associated with it, so we don't have this building just sitting empty, closed doors? Figure out a way. Take a tax loss. Whatever you got to do. There has to be something better than we have to lock up the door. Imagine going to New York and you want to go see it and they got a padlock. Like, what's those realtor lock boxes on there, right? They got a lock box on there. Said closed permanently. Sorry. Out of business. Like those mattress companies that go out of business. They got a sign 50% off everything in the store. Going out of business sale. This is ridiculous. In the United States of America, 16 years after this opened, it's already in the crapper. Try not to get too political, but at the same time, somebody needs to step up and step in. Like I said, if they can make Amtrak and keep that alive, because I can go to Amtrak's website and book a train today, I rather than booking a train, keep the museum open. Whatever you have to do, and find somebody privately who'll buy the place, cut them a deal, give them a tax break, whatever you got to do. But the answer should not be that the 9/11 Museum is closing its doors for good. Because again, you're not going to put anything else there. If it ain't going to be a 9/11 Museum, what's it going to be? A paperweight? This sucks. This is crap. And again, there has to be a better solution than this. And that's what's bugging Chuck. All right, we get back from the top of the hour. We're going to talk some Atlanta United, because this team is just not fun anymore. We'll talk about that next. Chuck in the Key Studios. Sports right after the game, Odyssey.com app.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.